I'm a jobber. This is the Tim Alissi podcast covering life, travel and more in the country of Georgia. Brought to you by foodfuntravel.com, expathub.ge and eatthistours.com. Hello, welcome to another episode of Tim Alissi podcast. It's me, Maxie, Meg.
Ooh.
Megan.
Whatever you Megan. Like. You can call her what you like, Maggie. But she's not going to listen because it's a podcast and this is sort of a one-way conversation.
Yeah, I won't hear it. A lot of people here call me Maggie. I think it's quite cute.
Yeah, it seems to be a popular variation in Georgia to change to Maggie.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm Meg. I'm from foodfuntravel.com. Who are you?
Tom. From eatthistours.com and expathub.ge.
Welcome to my Tbilisi. Studio.
Your studio? I built it.
I help.
Yeah, that's true.
We do actually have a podcast studio in downstairs of Expat Hub in our offices in Vake, and I'm pretty proud of it. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, the audio in here is nice.
I have always dreamed of having my own podcast studio, and here it is.
Yeah, finally made it happen.
I have a piece of foam weirdly sticky taped to the front of my microphone. Here's my dream.
Yep. Lots of little hacks to make the audio a bit better. I like it.
Yeah. Hope you all appreciate it.
I hope so.
Yeah. Anyway, what are we talking about today?
Day trips, part two.
Part two.
It's like a movie trailer sort of thing. You've seen the day trips, but now day trips, part two. You can go to more places.
But unlike most sequels, this is actually going to be like legit good. This is like Back to the Future sequels, where the second one could questionably be better than the first.
Right. And the first one, we covered sort of the most obvious day trips and overnights from Tbilisi.
Yeah, still very cool places, but the most...
Really cool places.
Most popular places that people will probably put on their itinerary first because they're the most well-known.
Yeah, but this episode we're going to talk about a few that are also really awesome. Some of them are lesser known, some are still quite well-known. And I think we're going to end up doing at least a part three as well because, as we said in the last episode, there is so much to do that's within a few hours' drive of Tbilisi.
Totally.
It is such an amazing hub spot to just go out in every direction, north, south, east, west, wherever you want to go. You're going to run into something new and different. It's great.
Yeah. And so, the whole reason why we're doing this podcast, we're doing it for people visiting Georgia, but we're also doing it for people that live here as well, that have moved here for work or have chosen to be, remote workers here or, different reasons people have been brought to Tbilisi and Georgia. And we want you to know about some of the things that you can do because sometimes you don't always know.
So what happens with a lot of people who live here, and we're guilty of it some of the time as well, is you get so used to living in Tbilisi that you don't actually go anywhere.
You just go to the same places.
Yeah. You realize like a month or like months have gone by and you're like, oh, I actually have just gone out in Tbilisi every weekend. I haven't been out of the city for months, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So we try to make a conscious effort to do that. And if you're living here or spending a longer time here, then you should do that too, of course.
Yeah.
And if you're coming here on a short visit, then some of these day trips are things that you should include in your itinerary and go out and find some interesting places outside of the city.
Absolutely. So what places are we going to talk about today?
Oh, I think we should just start on the first one and not give people full teasers on what we're going to discuss. They can just skip through the episode if it's a place they've already been and they don't care.
All right,
how about
no
that? Everyone has a fast forward button these days. We don't mind.
They do, so you can skip.
We won't even know you're doing it, so we're not going to take it personally.
I'm already not offended. It's fine.
I've done it before in podcasts, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So I reckon we should start with Gori and Shida Kartli, which is the north part of the Kartli region, which is just north of Tbilisi. So sort of starting from roughly where Mitsketa is. We talked about Mitsketa in the last episode, so we don't need to talk about that again. But drive past Mitsketa and then turn left and head west.
Gori, from the Georgian word gora, meaning heap or hill, does not sound exciting. So tell me why I should go to Gori.
It does have a hill. And it has a little fortress on the hill as well.
It does have a hill, so there you go.
But, I mean, it's most famous, known as the birthplace of Stalin. Mm-hmm. So, as we mentioned in other episodes, Stalin is Georgian, was Georgian, obviously isn't Georgian anymore.
He died.
I think, spoiler!
Spoiler!
Spoiler! Stalin's dead. There was even a movie about it recently. So Stalin was born there. The museum is, I would say, quirky. A bit odd. The tour is a bit weird.
I would say that they're not taking sides, and that's why you can find it quirky.
It seems more like they're quite pro-Stalin.
Well, I mean, you will see Stalin stuff everywhere. And even in Tbilisi, you'll see a lot of tourist shops and souvenir shops and all that sort of stuff, like with Stalin memorabilia in it. So it's really hard to know if people are pro or against.
Or just trying to make money.
Who knows? But Gori is pretty much on the map because of him. So I feel like
the people of Gori are going to be running in massive complaints.
No, I do feel that, like, you know, there are different sides to this story, and some people kind of still like what some of the things he did, and other people are like, no, he was a twat.
Yeah, I mean, let's be clear. He was very successful, even if he was successful in a way that we are not all very happy with.
Yeah.
But it is very true that some people in Gori are 100% pro-Stalin and see him as a folk hero.
Yeah,
local
so
folk
I
hero.
Mean, one of the things that he did during his rule was actually rebuild a lot of the town centre to his own neoclassical tastes. So downtown area is, you know, probably a lot more grand, and a lot of money was put into Gori because he is who he is. And who he was. And it's actually called Stalinist architecture. In the center of town, you do have the Stalin Museum. It's the best known attraction. And right next to it is his actual home, the place that he grew up in. It's right there next to this big grand museum. It's quite
very
quirky.
Small. Yeah. It's a very small little old house. He started from humble beginnings, I believe. We'll talk about his history in more detail in another episode.
Oh, there will be a series on that.
But yeah, so you can go visit the little house. They've also kept his train car that is out in the yard of the museum.
Yes, he notoriously would not fly. Terrified of flying, wasn't he?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, he'd only go by train.
Yeah, well, train travel is nice. You get to enjoy the landscape.
Travel.
It's great.
I love train travel.
But so, yeah, that's there. You can go in and see that. You can actually go inside the train car, and it's still sort of kitted out in the way it would have been when he was traveling in it.
Yeah.
You need like an hour and a half to go do the whole tour, museum, see everything, take your time a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, you know, that said, the town of Gori actually does have a really long history. It's from like the Hellenistic period. It's an important military stronghold in the Middle Ages. There's a lot of history that actually goes into that region that's not just, you know, 20th century Stalin.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And so obviously Gori is one actual place to go in that region in Shidakartli, and that's like about an hour and 20 minutes drive from Tbilisi, so it's actually really easy. But then there's a whole bunch of other sort of areas in the countryside around Gori that are worth making some stops at. I think the most famous one, and one that I highly recommend, is Uplitsike, which is a
hard to say.
It is quite hard to say. I've had to say it a lot in the last couple of years. We send a lot of tourists there, so I've actually tried to learn it. Hopefully I'm pronouncing it correctly, or at least getting closer to it than I was a few years ago.
Yeah.
But this is a Bronze Age cave town. It was actually briefly the capital, well, say briefly, in historic terms, briefly, I think it was like over 100 years, it was the capital of Georgia because Tbilisi was overrun and the Georgian people had to retreat out of Mtskheta and Tbilisi.
I mean, I've got written here that it was like the first, second millennium BC that it was a thing.
Yeah, that's when it was a thing. But then in the 13th century, it became a thing again, a place where a lot of people moved to. And then once the Mongols came through, that was pretty much the last straw and everyone abandoned it.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was done. But yeah, so I'm not a historian. And if you go with one of our guides, they would actually explain this to you in much greater detail.
But you can explain what makes this place super cool.
It's a massive cave town on the side of a hill with these great views of the river and the valley, and it's got a secret exit tunnel.
But you just glossed over the important thing there. You think that this might be some old fortress, which it absolutely is, but it's carved into the rock.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it really is a cave town. Like they've built like grand halls inside caves and like, you know, carved out the rock to turn it into a proper hall and supported the stones with pillars and things like this. They've got actual like winemaking equipment carved into the rock. They've got like granary storage that they've carved these little holes in. It's got drainage. It's got ancient drainage. So if it rains, instead of the water going in your cave, it goes down the side of the hill.
And as you said, the exit route's pretty.
The secret exit is something a lot of people, I think, would miss. They wouldn't necessarily know it was there. I think they put a sign up there. When we first went there in 2016, I don't think they had a sign for the exit.
They didn't even have like stairs and stuff. You had to just slide on your butt and hope for the best.
Yeah. So now it's a little bit more developed. They've got a museum down the bottom as well with a little video that teaches you about the history as well. And if you're going independently and you don't have a guide, And the thing itself is great. Like, I mean, obviously, the access, you have to be fit and healthy and be able to climb over some rocks and up lots of stairs and things like that.
Wear sensible shoes.
Yes.
We tell this to all the people that go out on our tours, and people do not always listen. Ladies in particular, I'm talking to you, wear sensible shoes with grip. The end.
Yeah, for sure. So this is about 15-20 minutes drive from Gori. So it's quite easy just to come back east through one of the little side roads, through the wine region, and out to Oblitzike.
Yeah. Actually, one of the things I think is really cool that actually, as you said, it was lost for all these years and then it was found again. And so now it's been turned into this, you know, would you say the 13th century, the Mongols just destroyed it and then it was just forgotten about. No one knew it was there for this really long time. And then it was just, ta-da!
Yeah, it was abandoned. And now it's turned into a historic site, submitted to UNESCO, but not accepted yet. But I feel like they should probably accept it.
I reckon they will.
I hope they will.
Actually really cool. It's one of my favorite places to visit. And they've set up the museum and everything and the little, yeah, they're setting it up really nicely.
It's great.
Yeah, really great place.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So, of course, one of the things you will see when you arrive into Gori up on the hill, because it is named after a hill, is the fortress that's right up there. You can't miss it. It is from the 13th century, but actually archaeological evidence shows that the area had already been fortified in the final centuries of BCE. There is some old rocks up there.
Some old rocks.
Old rocks.
Wow.
So actually, the fortress isn't really a massively popular destination. People are usually going there for the Stalin Museum or to go to
Oblitzike.
Oh, thank you. But yeah, if you're feeling like fit in the morning, you can definitely, you know, hike up there and check things out. I've heard that there's a very good view there at sunrise and sunset. There's also some remnants of Georgia's medieval times, because it actually was a really important trading post on the Silk Road that would pass through there. So, you know, the fortress, I don't know, it doesn't get a lot of credit, but it's definitely noticeable when you're in the town and it's very cool.
I think a lot of the typical sightseeing tours will stop there. We occasionally take people there, but it's not like a major attraction. So there are other fortresses around Georgia that would be major attractions. But if you're there and you've got some time and you've got an hour to take a little hike up there and go see it, then
totally
do it.
Yeah.
If you don't have an hour to go up there, then what I like to do if you're in a hurry, just to make a quick sort of 5-10 minute stop at the Memorial of the Georgian Warrior Heroes. There's like a sculpture park that's directly below the hill where the fortress is, and it's very easy to park just like 1 minute's walk away from that and pop in and get some photos of the fortress above. These really cool statues.
Totally. There is actually also a Gori free walking tour that runs. I hope they're still running. I definitely know that they were pre-COVID. Hopefully she's still up and going. But if you are wanting to like maybe spend a little bit of time in Gori, you can also get onto this free walking tour. And I've heard she's very good. I think it's
great.
A she. I think it's a girl that runs it.
I would love to go and do that at some point.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard really good things about it. So that is also an option. And I'll check out, see if the Facebook page is still up and running and link that in the show notes for everybody. All right, Gori. Where are we going to next?
It's Bolnisi. I want to go somewhere that I think you'll not see recommended a lot, which is a mistake. It should be recommended. It's actually become one of my favorite places to go. It's
really?
It's very close to Tbilisi, while also being a very off-track destination. In fact, this is such an undeveloped destination that there is only one 3-star hotel in the whole area. I think they're building one more hotel at the moment.
But there's no guarantee on the stars.
No guarantee on stars, but that's the fanciest place to stay. One 3-star hotel, which has like 20 rooms or something like that, and a few small home guest houses, and that's it. That's all the accommodation they have. So in many senses, this is definitely a day trip destination, even though you could do an overnight because there's enough to do to fill up 2 days for sure.
Tom, the anticipation. Where is it?
It's Bolnisi.
All right.
You haven't been yet, but I'm going to take you very, very soon because I've done a few trips there and now we've actually started a wine tour there because they've got a really, really interesting history.
All right. So you went there, you realized that not many people go there and you're like, this is something people need to hear about. And so you started a tour there.
Yeah, exactly. There's a few like key important reasons why you should go to this area and you can definitely fill 1 or 2 days. Firstly, the oldest remains of any hominid in Europe was found right there about 25 minutes drive from Bolnisi.
The Homo erectus?
Homo erectus, 1.8 million year old artifacts from the Homo erectus have been found there.
And that's just like the first human that like stood up, right? On their feet. Is that right?
Well, I think like the name suggests that's what it is. But I mean, the point is that it is a hominid. So it is part of our species. Whereas certain previous parts of that chain would not have been quite considered human or, well, hominid.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're modern humans. They're one, well, there are a few chains behind.
I think they were just like less sort of ape-like. So they like were more like stood up tall like we stand up.
We'll get an anthropologist on the show one day.
Oh, that would be cool. Actually, our tour guide, Ketty, gave me the number of someone and I need to contact her because she has contacts with the Demansi, which is where...
Manisi.
How do you pronounce it?
Manisi.
Oh, you don't say the D?
The D is barely pronounced.
Oh.
Manisi.
All right. So yeah, I will get them on the show because they know all about this stuff.
Yeah. So we're not going to go in depth into that history because I think that would make a whole episode to talk about it.
Yeah.
But you can go to the museum there. They don't have any guides who are English currently. So you need to take your own translator with you. And you can just learn about it there, or we'll eventually have a podcast about it. But you should go there anyway, obviously. So that's one of the major points to turn up. Also, Bolnisi itself was originally a German settlement from the mid-19th century. So a whole bunch of Germans, they had whatever problems they had in Germany, as is the way. People go, I'm not really happy with the situation. I'm going to migrate. They migrated here to Georgia, and they set up a settlement there in Bolnisi. And they actually built loads of German buildings and wine cellars.
So what makes it a German building?
So, well, it's German-style architecture, and it was built by Germans.
What defines it as German architecture? Like, how would I tell the difference between that and a house, like any other house?
I mean, they do look different from the Georgian sort of style, has some elements of Persian and, you know, is quite ornate, and they have the beautiful wooden carved balconies, whereas the German style is more like, you know, big barn-like buildings with wooden roofs.
Don't they have like the big pointy roof that you would think would be more for snow, but it's...
They have those as well.
Yeah.
So there's the church in Assoreti, which is just north of Bolnisi, which is another place you can stop, and was another German settlement. You can stop there on the way to Bolnisi. They have a very pointy roof German style church, it's normally closed, but you can go around the outside at least. But in Bolnisi itself, the main attractions are these old houses that some of them are still lived in. Some of them have started to be refurbished. A lot of them are not refurbished, but some of them have winemakers living in them, and they are making a mixture of both Georgian wine and German wine. So you can go into their old German wine cellars, which are, as you may know, if you've been to Germany and Austria, these old style cellars that they have are much deeper underground. Whereas the Georgian Maranis, the Georgian wine cellars, are normally less depth, and sometimes not even buried wine cellars. Sometimes they're on the ground floor and they just have a building over them. So it depends. There's lots of different types of wine cellars here, and that would be an entire episode on wine. We'll talk about that some other time.
Episode on Maranis.
But yeah, the thing is, you can go and visit a winemaker there, and you can go and hang out with them and drink wine.
Cool.
And in their German wine cellar. So you can go and drink like a Riesling or something like this, rather than just...
I was going to say, what sort of German grapes were they
Riesling
using?
Is happening, but they're also making with Georgian grapes as well. So just depends who you go meet. There's quite a lot there. I think there's about 25 winemakers in total in that region that make wine and sell wine. Obviously,
cool.
People make wine at home. Lots of people make wine at home, but people are actually selling wine, about 25 different places to go. So yeah, really, really exciting area. And because hardly any tourists are going there, Georgian tourists go there, but foreign tourists, not many at all.
So it's still, even though I would say the majority of Georgia still feels quite authentic anyway,
yeah.
It's like
even more.
Even more authentic.
Yeah. And then just south of here, just south of Bolnisi, about a 10-minute drive, you go up this little hill that's like right in the middle of the valley, just all by itself. There's just this one hill just standing out. And on the top of this, of course, is a monastery, because it's Georgia.
Oh, a monastery.
But this monastery is actually a newer monastery. So this is not an ancient monastery. But even though it's a new monastery, it's very much worth going up there, because you've got 360-degree panoramic views of the entire valley in every direction.
Oh, I remember this from your photos.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Okay, I will share the photos on our Instagram. If you want to check them out, you can go to Tbilisi Podcast, like at Tbilisi Podcast on Instagram, and I will share these photos because, yeah, they were beautiful. And there was a cat.
Yes, they have cats, of course. No surprise, they have
cats,
monks.
Wine and views.
Yeah, the wine tasting there is basically, unless you're a wine exporter or something, and if you are, contact me, I can get you wine tasting. But tourists can't just walk in and get a wine tasting. They don't.
Good
they
to know.
Sell the wine, but you can't go into the cellar and get a wine tasting unless you're someone they want to sell to. And it's not just about the German wine cellars in Bolnisi. It's also about the fact that you're about a 20-minute drive from the historic site where the first evidence of winemaking in the world was discovered about 15 years ago. So 8,000 years of wine history, this is a phrase you're going to hear a lot in a lot of podcasts and a lot of TV and a lot of everything that talks about Georgia and anything that mentions wine, because this is one of their biggest claim to fame, that wine currently is believed to have been invented here, discovered, invented. I don't know. Do you discover or invent wine?
You think you stumble upon.
Yes, I think you stumble upon, then stumble over after drinking it.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's a stumbly thing.
It's the birthplace. They refer to it as the cradle of wine.
The cradle of wine, yes. So some ancient pottery that was stained with wine was discovered there, and it was carbon dated to about 6,000 BC, so 8,000 years ago. And yeah, there's no real reason currently to go to that site. I really hope they'll put a museum in.
It is still very much a...
It's a hole.
It's a hole. People, they are actually still there digging stuff out of the ground. So yep. It's actual, like, professionals are working there actively. So it's not a tourist destination. It is a live dig site.
Yeah. So eventually I'm sure they will put a museum in, because this place is too important not to have that information.
Yeah.
So when that happens, then this is going to be a really great addition to a sort of day trip or overnight down to Bolnisi area, because you can easily do a little detour off the road to go and visit that. So, but go up there for the views, because it's incredible and it's not that far to drive. And then you can see the mountains all the way south to Armenia on one side, and then other mountains towards the north, back towards Tbilisi.
Beautiful.
It's really amazing. I can't recommend it highly enough for an off-track destination. If you want something with loads of development and a five-star hotel, no, forget about it. Not going to happen. But if you want something that's truly authentic, it hasn't really been touched by tourism yet, then Bolnisi is one of my top picks.
Lovely. All right, so we're going to move on to the Tbilisi National Park, which is much closer day trip than the others that we've
discussing.
This one
is definitely a day trip, not an overnight, for sure.
Yeah. This is just 20Ks away. So it's a popular summer escape place for a lot of Georgians. In the summer months, so in particularly like July and August, it gets rather hot. And because Tbilisi is sort of surrounded by mountains, it gets very humid and hot and a little pollution-y in the city.
Pollution-y. We always like making up words on this podcast, don't we?
Yeah.
A bit pollution-y.
So people like to escape it, especially, locals, foreigners. We all like to, get out and escape the heat.
I mean, let's be honest, the pollution is not terrible.
No,
but it's not,
I had way more.
It's not like we're in Sydney or something. Like it's not clean air like somewhere like in Australia or some of Western Europe.
No, if it's something that you have an issue with particularly, you might want to look at, the certain pollution levels at that time of year. But it's not like Chiang Mai, February burning season pollution or anything like that. We've been in
Beijing.
We've been in some serious pollution. But, if that's something you're sensitive to, then it's something to look into if you plan to be here in the summer months. Or you can, get out of the city and escape to some of these places that we're talking about. The things that Tbilisi National Park offers is picnic areas, camping areas. So it's a really popular place for people that like to camp and hike. There's bike routes that you can go on that have like simple, medium, difficult levels that you can take. And there is also a horse riding trail there as well to the Zetazeni monastery that's up the top. I think it's just a church. So what you can do is you can hike through the Sagoramo Ridge. And there's really beautiful landscape that you can view, and you hike up there, and then you'll get to the Zetazeni Church, which is from the 7th century up there. So, it is also known as the Zetazeni Monastery.
It's also where the Zetazeni beer comes from. Well, not at the monastery.
I knew the second I said Zetazeni, you'd be like, I could go a beer.
The brewery's there. I'm not sure if you can actually go in the brewery. To be fair, I mean, they only make like one type of beer. It's not a particular, well, they might make others, but they really only seem to sell one type in the supermarket. It's a lager. It's fine. It's a local lager.
Yeah. Aside from that, you can go and take a Zetazeni beer, go on a hike or take a bike ride, go see the church. The church in itself is an important site throughout history for both pagans and Christians of Georgia. So we will talk about the birth of Christianity in Georgia. Georgia was the second country to adopt Christianity behind Armenia. So it's really important here. So we will do a full episode on that. So this particular church has both pagan and Christian roots. The church has been built and destroyed so many times. because people come in, they go, I don't like your religion. They crush it. And then they build it again. And
then they go, oh, actually, I do like my religion. I'm going to rebuild it.
I'm going to crush yours and I'm going to make mine. In 1946, the Sagarama Range and the Zetazeni Forest and everything was actually declared a state reserve. So it's actually like a protective area of land, which is why it's a really nice place to just go and be one with nature. And the church complex is a really important link to the nation's religious past. So they're protecting all of that as well. The church has really great panoramic views. So hike up there. I don't know if you can drink a beer up there. I don't know. It's Georgia. They might just let you.
I mean, I guess you shouldn't drink the beer on sacred ground, perhaps.
Not.
Although most of these monasteries make their own wine. So, I mean, I don't know. But anyway, we're not recommending you go drink at the church.
Definitely take water. The hike is steep. It is incredibly steep. Some people choose to take a four-wheel drive. I don't know if there's it's not such a popular spot that there will be four-wheel drive drivers hanging out at the bottom, but sometimes there is with these places.
Sometimes there is if the season's popular enough.
Yeah, so...
Which it hasn't been for a while because of COVID.
Yeah. But you can actually hire a four-wheel drive or maybe hire a driver for the day to take you there. It is very steep, but hiking is probably the most popular choice because people choose to camp in that area as well. They hike and camp and rest and enjoy the views, and it's just a really nice... It's a natural... National Park. It's a nice place to spend, it's not far away from Tbilisi and you just get out of the heat and have a lovely day out of town.
Yeah, not far to drive from Tbilisi at all, just north of the city.
Yeah.
All right, I think we got time for one more destination this episode.
Where are we going?
Well, we talked last episode about going to Kazbegi and we mentioned a few places to stop on the way through.
Yep.
On the way through to Kazbegi. I wanted to give a bit more detail on this because Kazbegi, as a day trip, as we sort of acknowledge, it's better to do it as an overnight, because to do it as a day trip, it really is like a 13, 14-hour day.
It's really rushed.
You've got 3-plus hours drive each way. If the traffic's bad, which it sometimes can be in high season, then getting through that mountain pass can be massive delays. So it's a really long day to get there, see some stuff, take some photos, and leave. Now, of course, if you're here on a very short trip and Mount Kazbegi is one of the most famous places to go and the Gyorgeti Chenerty Church there is one of the most iconic landmarks to go and photograph as well. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
So, of course, you're probably going to want to try and do that if you are here on a very, very short trip. But if you have a bit more time, then something cool to do is to go out and hang out in Gedauri instead, which is the ski resort. Now, of course, in winter, your obvious overnight trip or a couple of days trip is to go up there and go skiing, which is fantastic. But outside of that season, then you can go paragliding. You can go and do ATV through the hills there.
Nice.
Yeah, really, really cool. Of course, mountain biking if you're up for that.
So it's kind of like the adventure zone of
it is.
Of the
it
region.
Is. So yeah, it's about 2 hours drive from Tbilisi to the north. So it's pretty straightforward to get to. And the road that gets really bad and sometimes they get blocked in the winter is the one after Gedauri, between Gedauri and Kazbegi. So that's where most of the avalanches happen and that's where the road is often closed. So if you're just going to Gedauri normally, you're fine
you'll
to get back without
get back.
An issue.
Yeah.
So yeah, it also means that it's a little bit easier in terms of traffic than getting
but
all the way to Kazbegi.
Obviously not a problem in the summer.
Not a problem in terms of roads being closed, but just, yeah, the traffic gets really bad.
Is this where you see all those really gorgeous photos of people paragliding and it's like all those like orange and brown colours of the autumn?
If you're there in the autumn, yes.
Oh,
yes, yes.
They are stunning.
Yeah, that's where the main paragliding site is right there. One of them. There's a few paragliding companies, so lots of different options to try. But the thing that actually would make this just a little bit more special, paragliding already is a very special thing to go and get to do that. Quite affordably. It's like about $100 for a 15, 20-minute flight, which is a lot cheaper than a lot of other countries, of course.
Very affordable.
But to go there for a spa weekend, because they've got quite a few hotels, nice hotels with spas. So unlike some of the other places we've mentioned, like Bonisi, which the best hotel is 3-star, still very pleasant, very nice hotel. But in Gedauri, you're looking at sort of 4.5 stars, like some actually really nice, decent hotels.
Natural spas or man-built spas?
I think these are all man-built spas. I'm not sure if they've got...
I'm still down with that.
I'm not sure if they've got volcanic water up there, actually. This would be something someone could write in and let us know if it's just man-made. But, well, I mean, the hotels, of course, are man-made. They are. The hotels were not here before people moved in. Homo erectus built the hotels. Yeah, this is original hotels.
Stood up straight and got straight to work.
Yep. So what I need is a spa weekend. Life is really hard in the 1.8 million years ago times. And I just need a bit of relaxation.
A spa and a mani-pedi. Yeah. Just get me a wine stat.
And a shave, most likely.
And a shave, yeah.
Yep. The ladies and the men, I think, at that point. So, yeah. Who knows? Yeah. So there's some really cool bars up there. You could just go for a hike around the mountains up there. There are actually hiking routes that you can go from that region all the way across through to places like Tuscany. But I mean, we're talking like a week's hike through mountains. So that's pretty hardcore. That's not stuff we're talking about for a day trip.
No, it doesn't sit in the day trip category.
So, yeah, that's another option. And the benefit of going, if you're going in like September, October or something before the season starts, or even November, it's going to be cheaper. So you get a discount on the spas. No. Spas are not always open all year round. During COVID, they were closed. A lot of them were closed. But we're hoping that as the season recovers, that those hotels will actually be open year round again for the spa. But yeah, at least as it sort of gets closer to the ski season, most of them are open. And if you're going up there during the summer, then of course it's a solid sort of 7-8 degrees cooler than it is down in Tbilisi. So it's actually very nice to just hang out up there.
I also heard that not far away from Gedauri lives something that's very special to my heart and belly, which is the birthplace of Kinkali.
So technically it could be. But my understanding is that it's a folk story as to where the actual birthplace of Kinkali is. I don't believe it's been verified in any way that Passanauri, which is the place we're talking about, which is just about 40 or 30 minutes or so drive from Gedauri towards Tbilisi, so a bit closer. You will pass through Passanauri on your way to Gedauri. And I think we mentioned that in the last episode as well. But we didn't really talk about it. We just said, get Kinkali, which you should. But I think there's a little bit more to the town, just a little bit more to the town than just the Kinkali.
Well, it's also like a really popular starting point for a lot of the river rafting companies. So you'll start there and then you'll actually work your way down the river back towards Mosqueta, I believe.
Yeah, you can't go all the way to Mosqueta. That would be a very, very long rafting trip.
That's a long trip, but I mean, that heading in that direction.
All of the rafting camps start from around that area. Ananuri Fortress is where the reservoir starts. So a lot of the rafting happens before the reservoir, and then as you get into the reservoir, that's the end of the route.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a whole bunch of rafting camps all the way down there, so you can do like a 1 hour or 2 hour sort of trip.
I've been led to believe that it is quite easy rafting,
yeah,
so it's nothing like, it's not any hardcore stuff. You can just enjoy your time on the river.
Yeah, beginners can go in with a river guide quite easily and shouldn't have any concerns about doing this. So yeah, it's an easy to almost medium sort of level.
Nice. But yeah. The main concern I think people would have would be that they would go and eat like an entire tray of Kinkali, which we know an entire tray of Kinkali in Georgia is like 30 Kinkali,
at
right?
At least, maybe more.
Minimum. And then they would try and get on a boat, an inflatable boat, and raft down a river with 30 Kinkali in their belly.
I don't know how many tourists have ever eaten 30 Kinkali in one sitting. I think Georgians can do it. I'm not sure if tourists are legally allowed to do it. I'm not even sure what the law on this is.
I think when you go to the river rafting places, they're like, how many Kinkali have you consumed today?
Yeah. If it's more than 10, they're like, no, come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, still, the best thing to do here is to go rafting before you have lunch. So drive up to Passanauri in the morning, get there around 11, go for a raft, and then jump into one of the restaurants, one of the roadside restaurants.
Finish hungry.
Yeah, and there's just a whole bunch of restaurants all sort of in a row through Passanauri, which are all famous for their Kinkali.
Because they're known as mountain Kinkali, right?
Yeah, so the mountain Kinkali is technically just meat with broth, maybe some onions, maybe some chili.
Or anything.
Yeah, they typically shouldn't put, if it's mountain style, they shouldn't put cilantro or parsley or anything in them. If you're eating the Georgian ones, Kalakuri, is the urban style, which has the herbs in as well. So yeah, just meat. But no, this is great. I mean, Kinkali's great almost everywhere. Even a bad Kinkali is good.
I'm never mad at Kinkali.
No.
Never.
And the ones from Passanari, I have to say, definitely some of the best that I've had. But there's a lot of restaurants there, so deciding which one is actually the best, I think you'd have a fight. You'd have a pretty large fight in the street with a lot of Georgians going, no, my restaurant's the best. This restaurant's the best. That restaurant's the best. So, you know,
you
probably
offend
best.
You my grandma by not saying that this is the best Kinkali in town. My grandma makes the best Kinkali in the world.
Exactly. I think if you start an argument with a grandma in Passanari, you're going to be banished.
Yeah.
Yeah. So onto a river raft, tied up onto a river raft and left to float all the way back down to Mutsketa.
There you go.
So, yeah, it would be troublesome indeed. So, yeah, that's my recommendation for another day trip. Instead of doing the crazy, crazy trip all the way to Kazbegi and back, or an overnight, then going just to do Passanari, go river rafting, then head up to Gedauri and have a spa day and an overnight there.
And, of course, those absolutely beautiful colours that come out in autumn, like just
October's an amazing time to go to Gedauri.
I'll post it on our Instagram. I think I've got a couple of pictures I need to post on Instagram from this episode. Yeah, absolutely stunning at that time of year. One of my favorite times of year to be in Georgia in general, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Great. All right. So what did we cover today? We went to Gori and Ublitsike.
We did.
And actually, we didn't. There's still more to talk about with these things because we didn't even really talk about the wine around Gori.
No, there's plenty of wineries around there. I think that's, yeah, we'll talk about the wine and everything on a different episode. This is more sort of like attractions and things to do.
But sure, if you go out there,
drink wine is a thing to do.
Drink wine. There's a microzone out there, the Ateni microzone, Atenuri, is the only microzone that is specifically sparkling wine focused in Georgia. So a lot of the.
That's pretty important.
Yeah. The microzones here are the same sort of deal as you'd hear about, like champagne is. Like you have to have a designated origin and the grapes have to have been grown and made in a certain style for it to be named a wine of that region and to get the label of authentication.
Yeah.
So they have the same thing here and each microzone in Georgia, I think it's 22 now, they've added some extra ones.
It keeps growing. I love it.
Yeah. So there's more cool and interesting wines appearing all the time and being sort of authenticated and formalized. As well as lots and lots of artisan winemakers doing whatever the hell they want, which is great.
I mean, like that too.
I love the fact that you don't have to be held back by regulations like you do in some other countries. But yeah, that area, sparkling wine, if you want to go and try this sparkling wine made from Chinuri and a couple of other local grapes, then that's really good. And that's also on the way to Ublitsike, you actually pass through the Atenuri microzone. So go and drink that.
All right.
Go and drink some wine. There's more there. There's so much more there. I could do a whole episode on that region alone because there are so many cool things we've discovered.
We might. This is just day trip, so we could just do an extra episode on this region.
Did you came with me when we went to that 17th century cellar which had a gun hole. It actually was designed to have a gun hole at the door to shoot anyone who was trying to get into the place.
I was incredibly pregnant when we went there, and climbing into it was fun because I was huge, but it was a very entertaining. The guy was hilarious. Like,
I think mad is the way to describe him.
Mad. But yeah, that cellar, that Marani, was fascinating. It was great. Thoroughly enjoyed that place.
It's one of the places that we don't take people on tours because the guy who runs it is a little mad. But if someone actually requests it and you go with the knowledge that he is a little mad, and you're willing to go and you approve it and we get you to sign a disclaimer going, I appreciate he's mad and I will take my chances, then we would definitely take you there because I think it's incredible. It really speaks to me as being a place that everything about Georgia is sort of encapsulated in this amazing enthusiasm of the winemaker who, yes, comes across mad, but actually is really just enthusiastic about his wines.
Enthusiasm and passion.
Yeah, just a crazy, amazing guy. But you might be a little scared if you're not of the temperament to turn up to a place and go, well, anything goes, I'll accept it. Then you might turn up and go, why are we here? When are we going to leave? But yeah, love that place. Amazing. So I'm not going to tell you where it is. It's a secret.
Yeah.
It's a secret, that one. But if you want to go taste sparkling wines, I'll definitely tell you, go to Chateau Ateni. You'll find that on Google Maps relatively easy. They make a few nice ones. They've got some rosés. They've got the white sparkling wines as well. Really, really nice little place with a cute little garden, small artisan winery place that definitely should pop into.
Nice.
But yeah, if you want to go to the secret cellar, I'm not taking any responsibility. So you're going to have to email me and beg me to put you on a tour to that.
Sign a disclaimer and an NDA.
Yep.
All right. That is the end of Day Trips Part 2. We will have a part 3 coming up. I don't know when. We'll work on it at some point and bring that one out for you. If you do have any areas that you would particularly like to hear about that you know is a day trip from Tbilisi, hit us up. You can email me at megzi@foodfuntravel.com and we will happily take any recommendations and put them into a podcast for you.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic that we can get onto a day trips part 3. There really is that much to do from Tbilisi. We might even make it into 4 parts.
We could.
I think it's possible. Or we extend it to a double overnight. So only 3-day trips from Tbilisi. There's also plenty of those.
Yep, absolutely.
Go to Imereti, go to Racha. These regions we can also talk about at some point.
Oh, yeah, I haven't been to Racha yet.
Racha's fantastic. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Another wine region. So many.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to another episode. If you've got this far through, we appreciate having you here. If you've listened this far, you must like what we're doing. So why not leave us a 5-star review? Pretty please. If you leave us a review, 5 stars, that means other people can find this podcast, people that want to learn more about Tbilisi, people that want to learn more about Georgia. You know, it doesn't have to be people that are coming here or living here. It can be just people interested in history or interested in wine or if you come across an episode that you think a friend of yours will enjoy, share it with them. Why not?
Yeah, do it. And subscribe if you didn't subscribe already so that you get notifications of new episodes because this should be coming out pretty much every week. We're going to try and keep this rolling and get something out every week.
Doing my best.
Yep. Busy times here in Tbilisi, but we are definitely focusing to get this podcast out as often as possible.
Speaking of which, we've got to go to a dinner party.
Yes. Sushi.
A sushi party.
Sushi in Tbilisi. Who knew?
Thunk it? Yep. Let's do it.
Pretty rare.
All right, guys. Have a good one and we'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Tbilisi Podcast. Connect with us at tbilisipodcast.com where you can find all relevant social media links, join our email newsletter, and discover more about travel, tours, and expat services in Georgia. This show was brought to you by foodfundtravel.com, expathub.ge, and ethistours.com.